Welcome to Channel 9. My name is Tomáš Petříček, and in this lecture, I'll tell you about understanding the world with F#. You might remember me from a previous Channel 9 video where we looked at F# type providers and how you can use them to obtain some data. And in this talk, we'll take the idea further and we'll look at some data science and data analysis tools that are now available in F#. So let me first start with the general problem, because there's lots of data in the world that you can access. There's so many different data sources. You can call REST services. You can analyze local data that you gather from your web applications. There's just so much data. And the problem is, what do we do with all the data that we can get? And this is a real problem, because as computers get smarter, you want to provide some intelligent behavior in your applications, like recommendations. You want to understand what's going on. In this talk, I'll show you that F# is the right tool for doing that. One reason is that F# has the F# Software Foundation, which is an independent initiative working on various topics, how to improve the F# development story. And one working group that's part of the foundation is the F# Data Science Working Group. And that's been working on various open source libraries for doing data manipulation, data science with F#, such as visualization, analyzing data, importing data directly into your language in nice way using type providers. And there's many contributors, both from the commercial side, like financial companies using F#, and also from the open source side, where it's independent open source contributors working on interesting libraries. In general, when we work in the data science area, we always have three problems, basically. We need to acquire some data. So you might want to call a REST service to get some data or read a CSV file locally. Then the next step is to actually understand what the data looks like. Because usually the data is dirty, there's missing values, it's not aligned properly, there's some columns that don't even make sense. And so the first step is to interactively understand what the data structures are and extract some interesting information from that, do some analysis. And then we'll visualize that to actually understand if there's any meaning that we can act on. And then the loop can continue, because you'll learn something, you'll find out that we need more data, and so on. So in this lecture, I'll give you three examples. We'll look at three different data sources, data sets, and we'll go through this process of getting data, understanding and analyzing the data, and visualizing the results. And I'll start with a sample, and then I'll go through some of the interesting libraries that we were using to do that. So our first example will be looking at the data that you can get about the Titanic survivors. So let me switch to Visual Studio. And for the first sample, I actually want to start from scratch. So I'll start by creating new F# tutorial project. And that will open a simple F# script file with some tutorial. I don't need that. And I'm going to be using a couple of community or open source libraries that are all available on NuGet. So if I search for FSLab, that's a sort of umbrella package that, when I install it, it gets a bunch of libraries for doing data analysis, data manipulation for F#. Some of them are usable from C# as well. I'll mention that later on. And you can see that I got a bunch of new references for F# data, F# charting, and so on. So I'll go back to the script file, and I don't really need to write a complex sort of project that I want to compile. I want to do the analysis interactively. So in my F# script file, I can start by loading the package into the context, which is sort of similar to adding references. But here, let me just go to the main FSLab directory, and there's a load script which I can load in my F-sharp interactive. And when I do that, it will actually reference some F-sharp type providers. So that's the dialog that's just appeared. And when I do that, I'll get basically all I need for doing basic data analysis and data science. Let me just grab a sample code. There's nothing in the sample, really. The only thing is that I'm opening the Deedle namespace, which is one of the libraries I'll be using, and I'm opening F-sharp charting, which is a visualization library. And I have a CSV file locally, and frame is a data structure which is part of the Deedle library that represents tabular data or spreadsheet-like data structures. So when I load the data, you can see that here in my F-sharp interactive window, I'm getting some nice preview of what the data structures look like. So the file contains passenger ID, a column survived, telling us whether the passenger has survived or not. There's passenger name and various other properties like the gender, age, how much they paid for a ticket, and so on. So you already can see that there's some nice sort of thing happening where we can easily load CSV file and at least look at the content in a nice, friendly way without leaving Visual Studio. Now, the first thing I want to do is to count the number of people who survived and count the number who didn't survive. So I'll take the Titanic dataset, and frame is a F-sharp friendly data type which follows the standard patterns. So I can take the data frame and I use the pipelining operator to pass it to a function that will do some analysis or do some transformations. Here I want to filter the rows based on the survived column. So the function gets row, which represents the individual row in the data set. And on that, I can call the getS method, and that will give me a column, the survived column, and that's a Boolean. So when I run the filtering, you can see that now I'm getting only data set that contains the passengers who have survived. And I'm interested in the count, so let me call count rows. And the result is there's 342 survivals. And if we negate the value, the Boolean, then we'll see that there's 549 people who have died. So that is doing some basic analysis, exploration of the data structure using the data frame structure. And now we want to do something more interesting. So what I want to do now is to look at the ratio for different passenger classes. If I go back here to my data frame, then you can see there's a P class column, which represents one of the three classes on Titanic. And we want to see if the survival ratio differs for the different classes. So I'll take the Titanic data structure again, and I'll apply grouping operation, and I'll group the rows by a property of type int, which is called pClass. And when I run this, you can see that the part on the left before the arrow is now two components. That represents the row keys or the row index. And this is actually now sorted by the class. So first we have all the passengers in the third class, and so on. So let me save the result into a new property, new variable that we'll use later on. And once you have the grouped data frame, you can apply some operations to aggregate the groups. So something we can do really easily is to take that and apply mean or average across one level of the index. So if I say across the first level, I'll use the F-sharp built-in function FST, which gives me the first element, then I'm getting averages for all the different properties that I have about Titanic passengers. And I can see that easily in my F-sharp interactive output. Now, it doesn't make sense to take average of all the properties. I'm just exploring the data. So I have to understand what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. But for some values, that operation just gives me missing because it doesn't make sense. But for example, we can see that for the age property, there's some significant difference. The passengers in the third class, no, the passengers in the first class, that's the middle row, are on average older than the passengers in the other classes. The difference between the first and second third isn't that significant, but you can see that we are actually starting to understand the data set. So now that I have that, I'm actually interested in the survived column. We looked at the age, but let's look at the survived column now. And to do that, we can slice the data frame across the columns and use getSeries operation, which takes a type parameter specifying the type of the column, because you can see that there's heterogeneous data. Some things is numbers, some things are Booleans. And I need to provide the name of the column. And this gives me just a single column from the data set, and it preserves the grouping. So once you do some transformations, the data frame structure preserves that, and we can easily do other exploration. So I'll call this survived by class, and we'll use this for doing some other analysis. And I don't want to bore you with my typing skills, so let me just copy one more sample from my cheat sheet. And I have a piece of code which takes the series with the individual passengers and whether they survived or not. And then I'm applying aggregation operation on the first level. So that means I'll aggregate all the values for the passengers who have survived. I'll aggregate all the passengers from the first class, from the second class, and from the third class. So let's take that. And the aggregation I'm applying is take all the Boolean values and count them by itself, by the value, and then build a series. Let me run this to see what's happening. So here, we get three series representing three aggregations for each passenger class. And the first one says false 372. So there's 372 passengers who have not survived in the third class. And there's 119 passengers who have survived. I can take this nested structure, which is series containing the classes with values being another series with true or false, and turn that into a data frame, which is the main data structure I'll be working with. So here we have a frame with three different rows for classes, two different columns for died or survived. And I can rename the columns to something that's easier to work with. So now you can see the summary of the data structure. And the last thing I'll need to do is that I actually want to calculate the percentage. So I'll apply one more operation here where I take the series again and apply a transformation, apply aggregation, just to count the total number. And the syntax here means add a new column called total. So if I look at the value again, I'm getting the number of people who died, who survived, and the total number in that class. And as last thing, we want to visualize the data, because you can see the numbers, but that's not really as easy to understand. So I'm going to build a new data frame which has just the percentage. And here, I'll take the survivals data set, which I already have. I'll take the number of people who survived. I divide that by the total number of people in each group. And I'll multiply the result by 100 to get the percentage. The interesting thing here is that I'm using standard numerical operators, but I'm working over the whole series. So the operation is happening over all the different rows in my data set. And so I can also apply functions like rounding in F# to get the percentage for the survivals and for the people who have not survived. Now, the last thing I want to do is that I want to look at the summary, and I want to visualize it using a chart. So I can take the rows, I can access the first row. So let's start with the row 3. This gives me just a single row with information about a single passenger class. And because the data can be heterogeneous, I actually need to apply some conversion to get the data as float. And now I have something that I can pass to a function chart.py from the F# charting library, which I'm using. And here we can see the ratio for the passengers traveling in the third class. Once we have that, we can also say with title and add some title to the chart, because what we want to do now is to build three different charts side by side. So I'll apply chart.columns, which is a combinator that combines three different charts. And I'll take this one. I could write this iteratively using some loop, but for the purpose of the demo, let me just change the numbers here really quickly. And now we are building three different pie charts, and we align them side by side. And you can really see what's happening in the data set, because for the first class, most people actually survived. In the second class, it's half by half. But in the third class, only a quarter, or even less than that, quarter of people have survived. So this was an example how you can easily load some data set and do some analysis and visualize the results. Let me say a few things about the libraries that we were using. This was using two libraries. Both of them are open source projects, partly developed by the F# community, partly developed by companies who are using F# for production. So Deedle Data Frame is a library that was developed mainly by Blue Mountain Capital, which is a New York-based financial organization. And it lets you explore data, compose data into these data frames, do some transformation, index them, do aggregation, basically the things we've been doing throughout the demo. The second library is called F# Charting, and it's simple and composable library. You could see we could get pie chart with just a single line, combine them really easily. That works well with F# Interactive. We can just run the code immediately, see the chart come out. It's fairly basic library. It doesn't let you do super complicated visualizations, but it's really quick and easy way to explore the data. So that was first example where we looked at the Titanic data. And let's look at something else for the second example. This time, we'll look at some information about different countries of the world. So let me switch back to Visual Studio. And I'll actually use a sample that I already have loaded in another instance. But it's doing exactly the same thing. I just referenced the FSLab NuGet package. And I added load script to load that into my F# Interactive context. And If you've seen the previous talk, then you might remember the World Bank type provider. This is basically a type provider that lets us access data from the World Bank, which is an international organization that collects lots of interesting data about countries to distribute efficiently the aid and so on. And the type provider has, it's actually one of the really interesting ones, because when I do worldbank.countries, it connects to the data source, it connects to the World Bank API, and gets the list of countries. So I can access the data from my F-sharp, from my F-sharp IDE, just from my IntelliSense, I can get the list of countries. I can pick some country that I'm interested in, and on the country, I have some other properties, like the capital city. In this sample, what I want to do is that I want to look at a list of countries and collect some information about countries. And then we want to compare and see if there's any relationship between the different data we can get. One point we want to use is the current temperature in the capital city. So I found a web service or a REST API that we can call to do that. It's called Open Weather Map. And when you query the URL with units and the city you're looking for, it gives you back some data. And accessing REST APIs usually means you have to find the documentation, get the JSON response, see what data you actually get, and then read the documentation that tells you what properties and fields you might expect. In F#, this is actually much easier, because we can use JSON type provider. And what the type provider does is that it looks at a sample result from the service and generates types that we can use for static access to the API. So that's exactly what I did right now. I defined type weather, which is generated based on a sample request to the weather service. And once we have the type, we can say weather.load and give it a URL, which could be a different URL. For a start, I'll just use the same one. And that actually makes the request at runtime to get some data. So if I get the data now, then W is some parsed JSON that represents the response. You can see it already printing in F# Interactive, but more interestingly, we actually get IntelliSense on the response. And that's without defining any types by hand, just by providing sample. So we can say, look at some system properties. There's sunrise, which is int, sunset, which is int. That's probably the hour or something like that. We have country property, which is of type string. So if we look at that, that's CZ, which is the code for Czech Republic. And you can see that the JSON type provider actually understood the structure of the response, and it built types based on that. So let's have a look at the temperature. The current temperature in Czech Republic, in Prague, is 7 degrees Celsius. If I don't provide the units argument here, then we'll get the data in Fahrenheit, which is 280. So you can really easily query REST services with this mechanism. Now, what we want to do next is that we want to apply this operation to a number of countries. So I'll write a helper function, getTemp, which takes city, and it runs the query. And the only change I'll need to do is to build the URL dynamically. So now I have a function that connects to the web service, calls the REST API, and gives me temperature. And I mentioned I want to do this across multiple different countries. So to do that, I'll just copy a list of some countries I randomly selected. And when I was doing that, I was just using wb.countries. And I get the list of all the countries, pick some countries I'm interested in. You can get the samples from the website and pick other countries, do some analysis on your own. So let me just define this in F# Interactive. Interestingly, this actually is fully statically typed. There is some data type representing country, and what I'm getting here is a list of these objects. So there's nothing dynamic. If I made a typo, if I misspell something, if I accidentally misspell United States, then I'll get a red squiggly telling me this property isn't defined because that country doesn't exist. So the next step we want to do is to get the temperatures for all the capitals. So I'll iterate over all the countries. I'll return the name of the country, and I'll call the getTemp function on the capital city. And I'll want to load the data set, load the values, load the list into a series where the index is the name of the country. So we can see the warmest place we have is Brazil with 30 degrees. That's pretty warm. The coldest place is probably Russian Federation with just 1 degree Celsius. So I'll store this in a variable. And the next thing I want to do is that I want to correlate this data with other information. We can try getting different data and see if anything correlates. The temperature probably isn't going to correlate with anything, but we can easily explore that and see if that's actually the case, or if we can easily verify or test any ideas we might have. So what I want to do is I want to take the temperatures I already have, and for all the countries, I want to get some indicators such as GDP in US dollars, and I'll take that for year 2000. So this is a number telling me what was the GDP of Czech Republic in 2000. And the next thing we want to do is to align this data with the temperatures we already have. So I'll need to create a data frame. I'll call it info, and we'll start with just the temperatures. So I'm creating a new data frame with just a single column, and that's the series, the single value series with temperatures. And the next step is that I can add other properties to it, like GDP. And again, we can just easily iterate over all the countries we have. And for every country, we'll just return indicators, GDP in US dollars, and we'll get this value for the year 2000. So now I did a mutating operation that adds some more data to the data frame, and it aligns the new values with what we already have. So now we have a data frame with temperatures and with GDPs. And I'll copy one more code snippet, which adds a couple of more properties. So we'll get the GDP growth in percent. We'll get the size of the country in population. We'll get CO2 emissions as an estimate for the pollution. And we'll add employment to population ratio for female as a indicator of gender equality in the country. So I'll run all of this, and now I've got a data frame which has all sorts of different information about countries. And the last thing I need to do is to test and see whether there's some correlation. And this is something where we probably want to use some more advanced statistical tools. There's a couple of libraries for .NET, but there's a lot more available if you look outside of the core .NET platform. So what I'm doing right now is that I'm using the R type provider, which is a type provider that gives me access to libraries from the R statistics package, R statistics tool, and that has a huge number of libraries for doing data analysis and data visualization. And what I want to do now is that I'll just take a built-in function in R called plot, and that takes a data frame, and R is really a separate tool. It's not even a library. It's just separate project. It has its own IDE, and you can't really see that here because we are just taking F# data structure like data frame, and we are passing that directly to function that's been imported from an external tool. And when I run this, a new window shows up, and this is our visualization that shows the correlation between the different properties in the data frame. So you can analyze the data. If there's sort of a line through the square, then that suggests there might be some correlation. So for example, here it looks like greater GDP correlates with greater gender equality. We also have the temperature. That doesn't seem to correlate really with anything that we have in the data set. The growth might be correlated with possibly the CO2 emissions. I'm not going to analyze the data we obtained. It's just an example showing that you can really easily get the data and use some professional statistics tool to do some analysis, get the result, and understand what is happening in your data set. So the libraries I was using here are, again, open source libraries supported by the F# Software Foundation. Some of them were developed by the community. That's the F# Data Type Providers Library. And that's what we've been using to get the World Bank data. That's what we've been using to load CSV. That you can use it to load CSV files. We also used it to make the REST API call to get the weather. So it's basically a library for integrating external data sources directly into your language. And it's using the type provider mechanism. You can see that directly in your IDE. When you do dot, you get full type information about some imported data. The second package I was using is the R type provider, and that gives us access to the R project, which is basically a tool that professional statisticians use to do their work. And if you're using R, then it has huge number of packages. There's over 5,000 packages to do different analysis. But in R, it's actually really hard to get the data or get the data from REST service. You can't really do that easily from within the tool. So people usually just download data, save it to a CSV file, then load it again. And cleaning up the data, aligning the data, it's actually really difficult. So with F#, we can get the robust .NET environment. We can get all the great things like type providers for data access. But at the same time, you can just build the data frame with the data and pass it to R to do visualization or some advanced statistics calculation or whatever you need. In the last sample, we'll again look at how to get some data, how to align data from multiple different sources, and how to make some sense of what we can see in the data. And as a sample, I'll look at the US debt over the last century, and we can get that data from one source and combine it with data that we can get from another source about the US presidents over the last 100 years. And this time, I'll be again using the FS Lab project, which is the collection of all the open source libraries. And I'll add one more thing, which is more experimental. That's something that's being done by the community right now. And that's a library for doing nicer visualizations. And we'll see that in a second. So I want to start by getting the depth information from a CSV file, which I can do just by calling frame.readcsv. And we want to get a CSV file, which is located here. So I loaded the CSV file. We can look at the structure. There's year, GDP, there's population, and there's depth as a percentage of GDP. So that means we'll get the depth relative to the current gross national product of the country. And that's more useful information because it's something that means the same thing in every year. It isn't like the depth has been obviously growing, but the absolute number, the depth in dollars, that doesn't really tell us very much. If we do that as a percentage of GDP, then we get something that we can compare across larger timescales. So we've got our data, and the indices you can see on the left side are just ordinary numbers. That's the index of the row. So what I want to do first is to change the index, and I want to index the data frame by year. And the reason why I'm doing that is that when I have two different data sources, I can align them based on the index, based on the year. So to do that, I'll need to index that by year. And the next thing I want to do is to rename the columns, because the CSV file contains the data, contains the column names, but it's not really easy to work with. So what we do now is that we loaded the data, transformed it a little, and we nicely named the columns so that we can access the data easily later on. So this is my first input, and it comes from, it's a data set that I downloaded from some website, and I want to at least partially check that the data isn't completely wrong. So what I want to do next is that I'll get the same data at least for the GDP, not for the depth, from the World Bank and compare the two data sets. So again, that means I'll need to use the World Bank type provider. And I want to get for United States the GDP indicator in the GDP is in current US dollars. So that's my data set. And I'll turn this into a series so that we have the values indexed by year. Now, I can just add this to the previous data set as a new column. I can do this like that. And this is the data set I'm seeing. So it looks like the values we have for the World Bank GDP are much greater than what we have here from the CSV file. The reason is that the World Bank returns the data in single dollars, but the CSV file has the same information in billions. So let's just divide the number by a billion. And what I want to do next is that I want to see a quick chart comparing the two data sets to see if they actually match. And I want to create a chart that will compare the two columns. So to do that, I'm actually going to copy a code snippet I have already. And what this does is that it iterates over all the GDP observations and over all the GDP World Bank observations. And it returns the year, the value, and it gives them different names. And then we can create a scatter plot, which will cluster the data based on the name. So if I do this, then I actually have a simple Visual Studio plugin that's embedding interactive charts into Visual Studio. And we can see it right here. And the thing that's happening is that blue is the data set from the CSV file. And from 1960 to 2010, there's also an orange overlay, which is the data coming from the other data source. So we can see that the data actually matches for the subset of the years that are available in both data sources. So hopefully that might give us some confidence that we are not using data that's completely wrong, because it matches for at least some part, at least the part that we can check. The next thing we want to do is that we want to get just the depth. So let me just get a column, and I'm going to use an indexer here to get a single column. Just get the chart, just get the column representing the depth as a separate data frame. And I can again visualize this using scatterplot. So I'll take the depth, and I want to visualize the depth column. And you can see that this is how the depth has been changing over the last 100 years. Now, what we want to do next is that we want to take this data and align it with other data source, which gives us information about US presidents. And this is, again, using the F-sharp data type provider. And we are accessing an online graph database called Freebase. And Freebase is basically something like Wikipedia, but with schema and with API. So again, the type provider can import the data structure of the graph right into F-sharp. And we want to get president, the list of presidents, which is available under society. And here you can see all sorts of different properties you could access. So it's really amazing data source if you just want to play with data and see what interesting ideas you can get about the world. We want to go to the government and get US presidents. And I can pipe the data source into list of seek in F#. And this gives me a list of all the presidents of United States. Or I can use a simple link extension method to get the first president. And then when I have the president, I can look at various information that are available. So we can see the name. We can look at government positions held. That's a list. If we get the first position, let's do this. If we get the first position, then you can see that the basic title of the position is president. You can get other properties like from. So we can see the range. when Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States, which is from 1861 to 1865, we can also look at the list of political parties. So if I go to party, get the first party, and get the name of the party, then I'll get the Republican Party. This is actually a list containing other parties, but we will be only looking for Republican and Democrats. So this is how I can explore the data. And what I want to do next is to write a query that will iterate over all the presidents. So let me just copy the property that gives me a list of presidents. And what we want to do is that we want to sort this by president number, which is some arbitrary number that is representing the order. And we need to get the maximal value because a president might have been president multiple times. And we'll select the presidents. Before doing that, we actually want to skip the first few. I know a magical number that will give us only the presidents over the last 100 years. And we can just quickly evaluate this and see the list of presidents over the last 100 years. So we have a list of presidents. And what we want to do next is that we want to get some information, load the data that we need to align this with the depth information that we get previously. So we'll save the list of presidents. And the query, that's actually just like C# link queries. This is going to be executed on the server. So this piece of code is running on the Freebase servers. And the rest of the code I have here, this is going to run locally. And what we are doing here is that we are iterating over all the presidential information. We get the government positions, look at only the president role, get the start and end date, check if they were a member of the Democrats or Republicans, and build a list with the information. So we are querying online graph database with information about pretty much everything in the world to get the list of presidents. And we are doing some basic processing to get the president, their first year, their last year, and their political party. And we want to take the president terms that we have and pass it into a helper function that will read this into a data frame. And offRecords is a function that takes any object, any .NET structure, and loads that into a data frame. So we get that, and we also want to add some nice column names. So when I do this, I get a data structure which has the president, start and end year, and their political party. So I'll save this into a variable. And now comes the interesting part, because now we have two data sources. One is the information about presidents. The other is information about the depth. And we want to combine them together into a single data frame. So to do that, we first need to change the index so that both of the data sources, both of the data frames, are indexed by the last year. And what we want to do next is to join them. And the join operation takes two data frames, combines their columns, and aligns the data. So now we've got the by-end data frame, which contains the start and party and president, and we joined the depth data frame, which is the last column, and that tells us the US depth at the end of the presidential term. So what we can do now is that we can use the visualization library and we can call vega.barColor to get a bar chart that's showing the depth for different presidents. And here we don't actually see the individual presidents. We can fix that if we add another attribute saying use the president name as the color of the bar. What I'm getting here is a bar chart that shows all the individual presidents and what was the government debt at the end of the term. I can cluster this by the individual presidents, or I can also cluster that by their political party. So now you can see how different presidents, Democrats or Republicans, contributed to the government debt. Now we want to calculate the difference at the between the debt at the end and the beginning of the term. And to do that, we can just get the debt and we can apply an operation that lets us do an operation comparing two values, the previous value in the series and the next value. And that's called pairwise with. And here we need to provide a function that takes the year that we can ignore and the value that's the first value, the previous value, and the next value or the current value. And we'll just calculate difference between the two. So now we build up a time series that has for every president the difference in the depth at the end and at the beginning of the term. And we can add that as a new column. I'll call it difference. And we'll just add it to the data frame. And this will automatically align it with the data set we already have. So we added a new column. And now we can change our visualization to actually not show the total depth, but show the difference. So this is how individual presidents contribute to the depth. I can also show that by different political parties. So now we have just Democrats or Republicans. And the last thing I want to do is to do the summary across, basically calculate the total or the average for both of the parties. So I'll just copy a code snippet that does this. And this is again using the grouping operation. So we'll group the data set by parties, and then we'll calculate the averages. And we also need to add a new column representing the parties. So now we have for Republicans, this is the average difference. For Democrats, this is the average difference. And if we plot the data set, and I'll go back to my visualization window, then you can see how, on average, over the last 100 years, what's the average change of depth for Republican and for Democratic presidents. So that was last sample. And again, we've used all F# open source libraries. We used the Deedle data frame, again, like in all the samples, to do some time series alignment. And we used a prototype of F# wrapper for the Vega visualization library with a tiny Visual Studio plugin that just lets us see the charts straight in F# in Visual Studio in the IDE. So to summarize, when we think about data science, F# is really the best tool for doing that, for at least for the .NET platform. And the idea is, when you're working with data, you need to acquire, analyze, and visualize the data. And F# has all the open source libraries to do this. There's the Deedle data frame, there's charting, there's F# data for getting data, there's multiple different visualization tools. And you can, in F#, you actually get the Python-like or R-like experience where you just get the data in your environment and explore it interactively by writing just a small amount of code to actually get something. The difference between the F-sharp data science stack and things like Python or R is that in F-sharp, you'll also get all the safety and efficiency of .NET. So when you do some data analysis in F-sharp, you can just take the code at the end, package it, and you'll have standard .NET library that's ready for production, and you can deploy it as part of your .NET application. You can deploy it to Azure and run it as part of some complex .NET system. It's just first class way of doing data science for the .NET platform. But it's also available on Mono, so you get the full cross-platform experience. And most of the tools I was using today are done or coordinated by the F-sharp Data Science Working Group. So if you're interested in this topic, then check out fsharp.org and join the Data Science Technical Group and help us make the F-sharp Data Science stack better. And as the last slide, I just want to point you to the F-sharp Software Foundation, which is the starting point for finding information about F-sharp. If you're interested, you'll find all you need on fsharp.org. Thank you. Mm-hmm.